Good morning, everyone, on this lovely, lovely sunny morning. A very warm welcome to you all from All Saints, Fordham and 8 Ash Green, this Sunday, the 19th of September, 2021. My name's John Bradley, and I'm a member of the congregation here, and I'll be leading this service this morning. As you will probably know, our plan was to have a service here of Holy Communion with all the church family present, but we've had some virus infections in the church family this last week, and for precautionary purposes, we thought it wise to have a fire break this Sunday, but we hope to be reconvening here in church next Sunday. Nevertheless, we are online, and a very warm welcome to you. It's great that you're able to join us. I would like to have been able to invite you to coffee and refreshments after the service at the back of the church, but clearly that's not possible today. But do please join us, if you can, on our Zoom chat. Many of you will know about this. We had it last earlier in the year during the lockdown periods, and it's from 11:30 to 12:30, and the link is on the front of the service sheet or on the church website. So if possible, do join us for a chat and bring your own coffee at 11:30. Lovely to see you there. Today we'll be celebrating morning prayer, and our minister, Francis Blight, will be speaking to us, continuing our focus this autumn on the message of the cross. And this week, Francis will be helping us to understand the meaning of redemption, how Christ on the cross has paid the price for all our sins, past, present, and future, and how we can respond to him for this act of supreme and selfless love. So in a moment of quiet now, let's just gather our thoughts before we begin, and then I'll start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you have promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, that when we meet in his name, he will be among us and will hear our prayer. In your love and wisdom, give us grace, meet our concerns, and give us your greatest gift, which is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're now going to have our first hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Thank you. please sit or kneel for a prayer in response to those wonderful words in the hymn. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed in your presence as we thank you that you have taken the sins and sorrows of each one of us and made them your very own. You have borne the weight of them on the cross, where you suffered and died alone. As we worship in your presence, help us to understand the enormity of what you have done for us, your love for us, your grace, and your mercy. Amen. We're now going to turn to Jesus' summary of the law on page 2 of the service sheet. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us and write these laws in our hearts. We now say together the confession on page 2 if you have the service sheet handy. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. We read in the book of Isaiah that God said, Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Our loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for your amazing mercy in forgiving our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that this wonderful truth will be written deeply into our hearts, that we might delight in you and live wholeheartedly for you, for your name's sake. Amen. And we now say together the collect prayer for today, which is also on page 2 of the service sheet. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now Christine will bring us our two readings, the first from Exodus and the next one from 1 Peter.
The first reading, as John said, is from the book of Exodus, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the second letter is from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The message of the cross, redemption through ransom, Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 23. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful message of the cross, and we come and open our hearts asking that you would teach us now. Help us to understand these Bible passages. Renew us and remind us of truths from the scriptures. Teach us new things as well, that we might know you and love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome to week 3 of the Message of the Cross teaching focus. During this autumn season, we're seeking to grow in our understanding of the meaning of Jesus' cross. What's it mean for our lives and those whom we share the message with? We will be exploring the meaning of Bible words such as atonement, adoption, justification, and reconciliation. And today we consider the words redemption and ransom. What does it mean to say that Jesus' death on the cross redeems a person? What does it mean to say that they're redeemed through ransom? And how should we live in response to God's gift of redemption? That's our focus for the next 20 minutes or so. To do this, we'll look at today's Old Testament reading from Exodus to consider God's redemption of the Israelites from Egypt, and then we'll move to the New Testament to look at the redemption which Jesus brought. To begin with, we need a basic definition of these words. Redemption is an act of setting a person free. Redemption's about liberating someone. It's about freedom. But the meaning of the word redemption in the Bible often goes further than this, because it includes the concept of freedom being bought by the payment of a ransom. Some kind of transaction occurs which redeems a person or a thing. A swap happens, and one thing is exchanged for another. At a mundane level, we speak of redeeming a coupon for a discount. Take the voucher to the checkout in the supermarket, and you can redeem it for 50% off your bottle of Vimto. At a more significant level, the word redemption was used when someone paid for a slave to be set free. This financial transaction ransomed the slave and made him a free man. These two words, redemption and ransom, go together in Bible theology, and they are key to understanding the message of the cross. Now, redemption is a universal human desire. People are looking to be liberated from all sorts of burdens and difficulties. Redemption from poverty through a program of education. Redemption from boredom through a new video game or television series. Redemption from illness. We all want to be redeemed from the impact of the COVID virus on our lives and society, don't we? Redemption from being overweight. Redemption for being underweight. And a new thing that is being talked about a lot at the moment is the desire of some to be set free from their biological gender. Redemption from gender. Advertising seeks to tap into the things that people want to be freed from and to offer redemption in a product. To put it simply, everybody wants to be free. We're all searching for freedom. And today we look at the specific freedom that God has enabled. So we begin with Exodus chapter 6. This is the first of 5 points which form a structure for this talk, and the third one in the middle is the longest point. They're printed on page 4 of the notice sheet with some blanks to fill in if you find that helpful. So firstly, God redeemed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt gives us one of the clearest pictures of what the Bible means by redemption. In chapter 6, God is speaking to Moses before the exodus has occurred and promising that it will happen. Please look with me, if you have your Bible in front of you, at verse 6. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. So what's God promising? He speaks about the Egyptians having a yoke on the Israelites. Remember, the Egyptians were using the Israelites for hard labor to do their building projects. A yoke is used by a farmer to control an animal and to direct it to do certain work. A yoke is a piece of wood across the neck which joins the animal to the cart or plow. Egypt had a yoke on the Israelites. They weren't free. They had to do the Egyptians' work. And God said to Moses, I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you. Under Moses' leadership, God took the Israelites out of Egypt. He set them free and brought them into the land of Canaan that he'd promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. God redeemed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Secondly, God ransomed the Israelites through the blood of a lamb. Verse 6 again. I will redeem you with mighty acts of judgment. God's referring to the 10 plagues that are about to begin, followed by the creation of an escape tunnel through the parting of the Red Sea. God used 10 plagues to redeem the Israelites from the Egyptian yoke. And I wonder if you can remember them. Started with the Nile being turned to blood. Then there was the plague of frogs, followed by the plague of gnats and then flies, death of livestock, boils on the skin, hail destroying crops, locusts, darkness, and finally the death of the firstborn. In this redemption, God used judgments to move Pharaoh's heart so that he would release the Israelites. It was a battle between God and Pharaoh as to who was really in charge. In the 10th and most terrible plague, we see the ransom element, the price that was paid for the redemption. On the night of the final plague, there was a death in every family, whether Egyptian or Israelite. Either the firstborn son in the family died, or a sheep or goat died as a ransom instead of the son. Let me read to you from Exodus chapter 12. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they're to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And then on to verse 12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Do you see how the death of the lamb was a ransom for the life of the firstborn son in the family? God ransomed the firstborn Israelites from his judgment on Egypt. And the blood of the lamb on the doorframe showed that an act of redemption through ransom was occurring. A ransom payment was made, a life for a life, an animal for a human. With this final terrible plague, Pharaoh agreed to let the Israelites leave. So God redeemed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. He liberated them. And in the events of this redemption, a lamb's life was ransomed for the life of the oldest son in each family. God ransomed the Israelites through the blood of a lamb. As we move now to consider the message of the cross in the New Testament, we find direct parallels between the Exodus redemption and the redemption that Jesus gives. If you're following in your Bible, please turn with me to Peter's first letter, that second reading that Christine gave for us, and you can find it towards the end of the New Testament. Here we find that today, God redeems his people through the precious blood of Christ. Let me read verses 18 and 19 to you of 1 Peter chapter 1. It was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In these verses, we see that Jesus' death on the cross was an act of redemption. The Apostle Peter shows us that it is right to interpret the redemption of the cross through the backstory of the Israelite redemption from Egypt. Peter emphasizes Christ's blood in the same way that Exodus chapter 12 emphasized the lamb's blood. Peter describes Jesus in verse 19 as a lamb without blemish or defect. This is in just the same way that the ransom lamb in Egypt was to be without defect. At the Passover, as God passed over Egypt, he wanted the Israelites to choose their best lambs, those without flaws or imperfections, the most costly lambs. Peter wants us to understand that the buying of our redemption was precious and costly. Verses 18 and 19 again. It was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. In this world, silver and gold are some of the most precious substances that a person can own. Gold is a symbol of imperishability, and this is one of the reasons that it's chosen for wedding rings, as a sign of the intention that a marriage should last a lifetime. We think of gold and silver as particularly enduring metals, so why does Peter speak of them as perishable? It's because he has in mind the end of the world. Peter's second letter, chapter 3, explains, and here's a verse on the screen. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The elements will be destroyed by fire. In the grand scheme of God's plans for the world, silver and gold are perishable. But in human society today, gold is one of the most precious materials that you can possess. When the stock market isn't doing so well, financial traders invest in gold because of its solid value. So there is some humor here when Peter describes gold as perishable. But here is the point. The blood of Christ is far more precious even than gold. The blood of Christ is far more precious even than gold. We must stop and ask if this is a reality for each of us personally. J.R.R. Tolkien, in his famous Lord of the Rings books, centers his story around a gold ring. The ring gives power and control that people will do terrible things to possess. Sméagol murders his friend to own the ring, and his love for the ring destroys him. In time, it turns Sméagol into Gollum, who lives alone in the mountain tunnels. Gollum continually refers to the ring as his precious. It's a powerful and pitiful image for us to consider. Is Jesus Christ more precious to you than gold, than the money in your bank account? What is your precious that you desire? When we look on our banking apps, the number after the pound sign is meaningful. Money's meaningful because we can do things with it. We can spend money to make things happen. But Peter shows us that the death of Christ is far more meaningful and valuable for his followers than financial wealth. The blood of Christ is precious. It's precious to a Christian. And it's precious to God the Father. It was enormously costly for God to give up his son to death. God can have as much gold as he likes. He's the creator and owner of the whole universe. But he only has one son. And he gave that one son to redeem us, the most precious and costly gift that he could give. So the message of the cross is that Jesus Christ is very precious, both to Christians and to God the Father. God redeems his people through the precious blood of Christ. Now, the costliness of the sacrifice tells us something about the value that God places on people who put their trust in Jesus' redemption. The value of something is determined by the amount that someone is willing to pay for it. We do it every day when we go shopping in a store or on a website. We weigh up whether we're willing to pay that price for that particular item. Will you pay £200 for a coffee espresso machine? Will you pay £50 for a video game? Will you pay £8 for a ready meal? Maybe you will, maybe you won't. The value of something is determined by what a person will pay for it. God the Son was and remains the very precious to God the Father. God declared at Jesus' transfiguration, "This is my Son whom I love." That God allowed his precious Son to be killed on a cross shows us how much he values us. Repentant people who trust in Jesus Christ as their Redeemer are worth more than gold to God. And this is a wonderful aspect of the message of the cross. So let's modify this teaching point. Today, God redeems his precious people through the precious blood of Christ. Fourth point. The blood of Christ redeems us from an empty way of life. Now that's an interesting statement, and perhaps it isn't what you were expecting. I found five things in the New Testament that Jesus redeems us from. Perhaps you might find more. He redeems us from, redemption from sin, redemption from the power and rule of Satan, redemption from the curse of the law, the curse being that a person is only acceptable to God if they keep the whole Old Testament law, and then redemption from the frailty of our mortal bodies. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that the blood of Christ redeems us from an empty way of life. Christ ransoms us from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. And this is because the redemption of Jesus Christ gives us the hope of eternal life. Without this hope, life is ultimately empty and futile. We can, of course, enjoy the good things of the world in the present, good food, the wonder of plants and animal life, good music, laughter, good sex, silver and gold. But without Christ, these things have no future meaning, or they only have a future meaning in the short term. These things are good, but they're perishable and ephemeral. They don't last. Without the hope of eternal life, there's nothing beyond these things. To use a word from philosophy, there is no telos to life, no ultimate aim or objective. But the precious blood of Jesus redeems us for life after death and takes away this emptiness and futility. His redemption through ransom fills life's activities with meaning. Without eternal life, everything is ultimately meaningless. With redemption through Jesus, everything can become meaningful, even the most mundane acts of cleaning the windows or raking leaves. This is because with Christ, everything is going somewhere. There's a meaningful direction and goal, even through the toughest of circumstances. So the blood of Christ redeems us from an empty way of life. So finally, as I come towards the end of this sermon, how shall we respond to God's redemption gift? Peter tells us to live to please God. So my final point is, respond to Jesus' costly work of redemption by living to please God. Peter's argument is that because such a precious thing was given to redeem us, we should therefore seek to live a holy life. Verse 14, be obedient children. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, i.e. the evil desires you had before you heard the way of God. Verse 15, be holy because I am holy. Verse 17, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And verse 22, love one another deeply from the heart. This application is similar to last week's from Jesus washing his disciples' feet. We should love our fellow believers in the church community. Those who are redeemed by the cross are our brothers and sisters. We should love them. The way to respond to the costliness of the price that God paid for your redemption is to live to please God. This means putting into practice God's ways and values that we discover in his word, the Bible. This is not to earn redemption, but rather a thankful and grateful response to the precious gift of Jesus Christ. Well, let me summarize as we finish. The message of the cross is that God redeems through ransom. God redeemed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, and he did this by ransoming them through the blood of a lamb. Today, God redeems his precious people through the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ redeems us from an empty way of life, and the way to respond to Jesus' costly work of redemption is by living to please God. We'll pray in a moment. I'm going to give you a few moments of quiet for you to reflect and pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' work of redemption on the cross. It was a costly work, the most precious thing that you could give us, Father. And so we celebrate what you've done for us, and we put our trust afresh in Jesus, celebrating his ransom for us. We pray, Father, that you would help us to live in response to this, living to please you. We seek the gift of your Holy Spirit to enable us to be holy and to honor you with our words, with our thoughts, with our actions. Please lead our way as your people and help us to love one another from the heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I look forward to seeing some of you on Zoom and taking the opportunity to discuss those Bible passages and today's message. Our next hymn is a song called The Precious Blood. I think it's new to us. It has a reflective melody, and I encourage you to use it to focus your heart on God and to think on his gift of redemption for you.
Before the cross I kneel and
I'll say together the Nicene Creed, which begins on page 2 of the service sheet. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with our prayers of intercession and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer, we thank you for your great love for us and for redeeming us through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be pleased in your mercy to open our hearts and our minds to you now, that we may find in you what the world cannot give: forgiveness from our sin, peace that cannot be taken away, and hope that is founded in you. We pray for those in authority, for our Prime Minister, members of Cabinet and Government, and all elected to Parliament and councils, as our country faces great challenges in terms of health, the economy, and our response to a broken and suffering world. Give them wisdom and compassion that their decisions may bring glory to you, encouragement to your church, and safety and well-being to your people. As we look back on the challenges which the pandemic has brought, we thank you for every sign of your grace, the kindness of family, friends, and neighbours, the beauty of nature, the sacrifices of key workers, and the marvels of technology and medical science. Above all, we thank you for the strength and comfort your Spirit has given through the Scriptures and through your people. And we pray that as we come to terms with the new way of living that we're facing, please deepen our fellowship, restore and grow our church family, and build us up in Christ. Keep us humbly dependent on you, not forgetting our frailty and living with you at the center of our lives. And help us to spot and resist any harmful tendencies that may have crept in over the past year towards selfish independence or towards excessive love of comfort or control. We pray that we may shine with faith, love, and hope as we face the challenges of these days. May others be drawn to you through our witness and come to know Christ for themselves. We pray for those who are ill, worried, or troubled. We pray for Nick Derlacher and Rebecca Gage, both of whom tested positive for COVID this week, and for their families. We pray too for Vic Sawyer, Dorothy Bradshaw, Barbara Jones, Emily Grote, and others whom we may bring before God now in a moment of quiet. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, bring healing to the sick, strength for those who care for them, relief to those in pain, friendship to those who are alone, and reassurance to those who are in doubt or distress of mind. May our love be so strong that we may never pass by on the other side. Finally, as we look forward to the week ahead and all that it may bring, we commit ourselves to you and ask you to protect us and to guard our hearts and minds that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And we continue together by saying the prayer which Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, on page 3. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we're now going to have our final hymn, after which Francis will share church news with us and end our service with a prayer and a blessing. So our last hymn now, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we praise and celebrate the gift of salvation that you give us in Jesus. Thank you for his costly work on the cross for us. Amen. Some church family news as we come to the end of this time together. This morning we meet as a community for Zoom coffee, 11:30 to 12:30. This is a one-off due to there being no in-person attendance at church today. And the Zoom link is on the front of the notice sheet, and I emailed it out on Thursday evening to the church email group. We'll split into small breakout groups to chat and connect, and we'll also have 20 minutes all together to discuss today's Bible passages and teaching. I look forward to seeing you in about half an hour's time. The All Saints Club is running online this afternoon. Luke Group meets at 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds, and the Matthew Group at 4 p.m. for 11 to 16-year-olds. Georgina has emailed the Zoom link to parents. Next Sunday, God willing, we'll be back here for our regular 10 a.m. Sunday gathering. We continue with the message of the cross focus, looking at the meaning of atonement. It'll be a Holy Communion service. I'll be preaching, and Alistair Grote will lead. As part of the message of the cross focus, we have a book for the term called The Cross in Four Words. It's a short book, just under 100 pages, and I want to encourage you to read it over the next couple of months. Chapter one is titled How God Redeems His People, and it will help you to think through today's topic, looking at certainly the same passages from Exodus. We have 50 copies available, either here in the church and some in the church office. They're free for you to take, either to read for yourself or to give away to someone. If you'd like to cover the cost of your copy, there are details in the church notice sheet. Babies and toddlers will be running this Tuesday morning, and on Friday evening, the 421 Youth Group will be meeting again in the JOB at 7:30 p.m. A couple of prayer requests, which are in today's notice sheet. I'll be away at the Anglican Renew Conference in Leeds tomorrow and on Tuesday. Please pray for the movement of churches that will be represented at this gathering, that we can persevere in living faithfully for Christ and sharing his gospel. The theme of the conference is establishing healthy churches. And secondly, voting has just opened for General Synod representatives. The General Synod makes decisions for the whole Church of England. Elections happen every 5 years. So these elections are always important, but this year particularly so. The pressure is on to introduce blessing services for same-sex relationships. These will in practice look like marriage services, and church ministers cannot bless what God says is wrong without becoming false teachers. It's most likely that this will be proposed for the General Synod to vote on over the next 5 years. Please therefore pray for the election of godly people who have a clear grasp of the Bible in this matter, who will be able to defend the church and resist this change. And please pray for Mary Durlacher, who's going to stand again as a lay representative. Daphne Harvey died last year, age 95, during the lockdown. And those who remember her are invited to a Thanksgiving service for her life, followed by the burial of her ashes in the churchyard. That'll be at Fordham Church on Tuesday, the 28th of September, 2:30 p.m. If you'd like to attend, please contact Daphne's daughter, Rosie Davis, and her phone number is in the notice sheet. So I look forward to seeing you on Zoom shortly. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we look to you and ask that you would lead us in living a holy life that is pleasing to you. In response to Jesus' costly work of redemption, this great gift for us, we pray that you would teach us and show us how to live for you, for your glory. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.